Tonight we're going to have our New Year's celebration here in this room from 8 o'clock tonight till when? Midnight, 12:15. And we'll celebrate. And if you want to leave at 10 o'clock, you can, 8 to 10. And there's an hour break and also children's care until 11 o'clock tonight. So even your children are going to be taken care of. And then come on back into the room if you want. You can go home at 10 o'clock or whatever you want to do for the evening. But to be with us, that would be awesome. And we're going to celebrate going into the year 2018. If you Google like what people are making resolutions for tonight, you know, they're making determinations. The most popular idea is to be to lose weight. And I'll go into that in a message a little bit. But we have found something new. In John chapter 15, without Christ, we can do nothing. By the way, they say, according to their research, the number of people that make resolutions today regarding this coming year, 8% of them fulfill them through the year. 8%. Okay. Are you one of those eight? Well, we have good news. We have found another way. We have found a new life. Without me, you can do nothing. But through Christ, what? All things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we'll speak about that and how that happens in our lives today, this morning. Tonight, we'll have a great service. Pastor Shabelli is going to give a message on eternity. Eternity and beyond. Okay, so that'll be a great service. And then lastly, I invite you to pray for me, David Stembowski, and Pastor TJ. We fly tomorrow to Moscow, Russia, and we have a conference there for 3 days, and people are coming from different parts of the former Soviet Union, Greater Grace pastors, and people, we're going to meet in Moscow and have a great time there. And I think Pastor Steve Duff is here, is he? Okay, and Michelle, okay. I got to tell everybody, Pastor Steve, like oftentimes when I'm in Russia and people from the St. Petersburg Church, and we talk a little bit about the past sometimes, they say, Pastor Duff, the rap sessions were amazing. The Spirit was moving. God really used him in my life. And those people are there today. Hallelujah. God used you. That's it. It's amazing. And then after Russia, we fly to Hungary. We're going to be there for 4 days and then come back. So it's an 8-day trip. Thanks for your prayers. We're on the same team by God's grace. We love each other, praying for each other. And we have a great January series of messages. After that, we're going to go into Bible prophecy and learn about the days that we are living in today. And this is very important that we would understand what is happening out there in the world. Based on the Bible, what the Bible says about our future. We got to get ready, folks. We got to get ready. We got to be ready. We got to be ready. Like, there's a lot of craziness out there. I'm sorry to say it. I love to say, hey, we're living in a tropical place with the beach and the lemonade and everything, but it's not so. There's a sniper on the roof. There's the devil on the street. There's a devourer out there. There's an enemy that is out there. And I need, we'll talk about it today. We'll preach about it. But I need help. Yeah, maybe I could lose weight this year, but ultimately at the end of the day, I mean, really, does it matter that much? as much as me being spiritually alive unto God? Huh? Really, I could get in good shape, or what is another one? I want to save more money. I want to travel more. I want to read more. And there are many resolutions that people make, and okay, that's fine. That's your business. I don't really care about that, but this I do care, that when you live this life, you live to the glory of God. Amen? That's what we care about, that Jesus is getting the glory, and we're getting things done that nobody in this world could ever do, but what God does by His Holy Spirit in and through us. Hallelujah. Man, am I fired up about it. Why don't you stand up and get excited? Go ahead, stand up for a minute and get excited. And say hallelujah. And hug your brother and sister and say, you're looking good today. God bless you. And get stirred up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Happy New Year. Blessed New Year. Just say amen, huh? That's amazing. Rachel, we knocked on doors five, six years ago. And Rachel, who just sang, shared a vision that she had for a van that would go out and reach homeless people. It went in my heart. I thought, that's a great idea. Go out with sandwiches and toothpaste and underwear and the message and the gospel and park the vehicle and then open the doors and serve people. So Ray, Pastor Ray, who sits down here usually, he is the guy doing the job, so we got the van. And we're calling it the Midnight Express. Now, this is a side. This is a little administrative thing. This is Yoni. Yoni, come on up. Here you go. I bought this shirt for myself. It was $7. No, $5. Wouldn't you buy it? The bad news, it doesn't fit me. I think it might fit him, so go for it. Merry Christmas. Yeah, okay. Okay, so turn to John chapter 15. How to look at our new year. Here are the in the searches for what people are saying: get healthy, get organized, live life to the fullest, learn new hobbies, spend less, save more, travel, and read more. They say that 8% of the people that make the resolutions actually live them through the year. I think all of us are aware of that. Pastor Carl Silva has written a great book right here called Spiritual Coverings. And this subject relates to our topic this morning, and we will look at it. And he is such a man of God. I love this man, Pastor Carl, so much. Many of us know who he is. And he really did a great job on this booklet, and we'll order a bunch of them and put them in our bookstore so that you can read them. Read it. Turn to John 15, please. The Kansas City Convention is going on, and Pastor Jason Moore, we sent him out there to glean from the body that is out there in Kansas City. They're doing a great job in their ministry, building people up in the Word, people growing in their decisions. People making corporate body decisions, and people being missionaries. Then coming back home for their convention. We have ours here in June. They do theirs now at the New Year's. Wherever you go, whatever church you belong to, this is very important, that we would understand that Christ came into the world so that we would have the true vine. This is chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine. Would you like to read it? I am reading King James today. I am the true vine. I say it again. I am the true vine. Is there such a thing as a false vine? Plastic vine, artificial vine, painted vine. Is there a lying vine? Yes, there is. The whole basis of our world today is rooted in the reality of God, who is good and awesome and so dependable, so trustworthy, so gracious, infinite, wise, righteous, and true. In distinction to the devil, who is the liar, the false vine, the philosopher of evil intentions, good words, but emptiness. The devil is darkness, but then he can project light. Remember, we read that in 2 Corinthians 11. He's called an angel of light, transformed into an angel of light. But he is not light. He is darkness. He is also a liar and very good at it. And we have said here that if you have truth, the best lie is one that comes as close to the truth as possible. But it isn't true. It's a lie. A vine, the true vine, and the false vine that can get as close to the true vine is the best lie, the best deception. The devil in heaven was not always the devil. He was called Lucifer. And he was a cherub, the highest nature angel of highest nobility, the highest wisdom, highest beauty. Two words, really, Ezekiel 28, 15 and 16. He was the wisest, and he was the most beautiful. It's funny, human beings understand those two words, beauty and wisdom. All of us would like to have both of those words. Beauty, very much desired by people, and to be intelligent and wise. This wisdom and beauty became the source of his pride and self-importance. In a way, we could say, not only was iniquity found in him, but he became a fool. And I think that word is offensive. Generally, when we say you are a fool, or I am foolish, or I am a fool, King Saul said it when he was attacking David, and David had stolen his spear and went to the other side of the valley and cried out to Abner and said, "Abner, you failed in doing your duty. You did not protect the king. I have his spear." And Saul, hearing David's voice, said, "David, is that you? I have played the fool." Foolishness is hard to get out of the heart of people. Foolishness, even if you bray it in a mortar with a pestle, the proverb says, you cannot extract foolishness out of a person. I would say, and I meditate on it, and I read the Proverbs a lot, and I think about it. I'm not sure. I'm just saying my opinion based on what I understand about the Bible. I believe not only is there a great increase in knowledge in our day, we're increasing with our iPhones and our computers and our technology, great increase in knowledge, but also a great increase in foolishness. I heard last night about a woman who used to come here just a very short time, but her body was found behind a dumpster the other night as she overdosed. Another person in an age of a lot of knowledge. But where is the stuff that I need? Where is what I need? Where is it? As we said, you can make resolutions, but are you going to actually keep them? 8% do. What happens to the rest of us that don't keep them? The true vine. That's what I need. Verse 1, I am the true vine. I mean it. The true vine. You see, Lucifer had his sequence. He was vain, proud, iniquity in him. Then he sowed discord in heaven. He went around to the angels, and I love this part of the story that apparently God allowed the propagation of the lie in heaven. I mean, think about it. It could have been instantaneously when iniquity was found in the devil. He's gone. Puff of smoke. Poof. Gone. History. In a sandy beach on planet Earth. The devil head first, you know. Like in the cartoons. But somehow a spiritual communication was allowed in heaven, for the iniquity that was in the heart of the devil was now brought out by words, by a message to the angels in heaven, and a third of them took the bait and fell in Revelation chapter 12. And they all came here to this planet. All of them. Why didn't they go to other planets? Guys, this is where God ordained that there would be a revelation and a manifestation of his nature and his character here on this planet for this reason. For he has not put angels to be subject. He has not made this earth to be subject to the angels, but he made this earth to be subject to man. And, you know, science is, like, very curious about the rest of the universe, and so are we. But we have not found any life out there. Just a lot of dirt, a lot of gas, a lot of nothing, a lot of vacuity, a lot of emptiness, a lot of amazing stuff for astrophysicists. And those that study that stuff, which is amazing, they do. But here, you know, that statement, we could walk on the moon, but what we're really looking for is for a man to walk on the earth. Isn't that a good word? We can have a man walk on the moon, that's fine. But there are no devils there. There are no lies there in that sense. We need a man to walk on the earth and be here in a contest where there is a false vine. There's another message and another set of there are lies. So he came. He was a cherub that covers. Very interesting portion in Ezekiel 28. It says that the stones were what covered Lucifer. And it gives the names of these stones. And none of us really can understand the meaning, except I always attribute it to, and I kind of think it is this way, that those were the attributes of God that were covering Lucifer. Lucifer had a covering, and the covering was actually the nature of God was his covering. But when he came out, and then he was the cherub that covers. He was a covering for the angels. He was a covering in the plan of God. Because we know coverings work that way. Christ is here. The Father is his covering. He always does what his Father pleases. He always obeys his Father. He always operates in the Father's will. Then he has the disciples, and he's a covering for the disciples. The church is born, and he's a covering for the church. The man is a covering for the wife. And as a family, they are the covering for the children. And so on. Very real thing that happens in the world. How do I live this coming year? The best thing were to be under my coverings. Not to leave my coverings. Not to depart from my coverings, the caring place that God has ordained for us. There must be a place of covering that God has ordained for you and for me. Why would a mother have a child and not be a covering for the child? How could it be that she would forsake the child and the child would die? Why, how could that be? Yes, it may be. But God says in Isaiah 38, will a woman forsake her suckling, her child? And he said, yea, she may, but I will not forsake you. I am a good covering. I am a faithful covering. I am the true vine. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the answer for your trouble, your waywardness, your weakness in decision-making. Your resolve, like we're talking about resolve. We're talking about decisions. Noah Webster's dictionary for resolve is simple. Fixed purpose of mind, settled determination, resolution. What is ours? Read verse 1 and 2 with me. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Hallelujah. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it. Hallelujah. That it may bring forth more fruit. You know what I hear? What I hear in those verses? You know what I hear? He's involved. That's what I hear. He's involved. Snip, snip. That's what I hear. Isn't that good? Like, Lord, don't leave me to myself. Prune me. If there's a dead branch, chop it off. That's good. I take it. I'm not the way. I'm not the truth. I cannot bear fruit. I know that you are the true vine. You'll guide me and instruct me, exhort me and teach me and encourage me and anoint me and refresh me and restore me. You'll inspire me and help me and uphold me. You'll motivate me and lead me and guide me. You'll take me all the way, God. You are a good God. You are an amazing God. You are the Almighty God. Underneath me are your everlasting arms. You are the hiding place, Psalm 91 and verse 1. In the shadow of the Almighty, in the secret place of the Most High. I don't care about the ways of the world. When they go to the New Year's, they take a couple drinks, they make a few promises, and they wake up not knowing necessarily what they said, how much resolve do they really have, and so on. I'm not making light of it. I am one of those also. I'm not looking down on people. I am one of those also. But I am pointing to all of us, for all of us, something new and something beautiful that is to the glory of God. Look at verse 2. I'm sorry, verse 3. Here's another thing we have. Not only is the Father the husbandman, that is involved with taking care of us, trimming and pruning and dealing with our foolishness. And I have it in the last few weeks. I've been thinking a lot about this word, foolishness. I read this. Foolishness in the Bible means a destructive self-centeredness. Fools cannot bear to have anyone over them. Listen to that phrase. Psalm 14, verse 1. You know the verse. Isn't it verse 1? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Why does a fool say there is no God? Because fools, by definition, have a destructive self-centeredness, and they don't want anybody over them. They don't want a covering. They don't look at life like that. They are independent. And in their independence and making their own decisions and living their own way, they actually find themselves in a whole pickle of trouble of many kinds. Wisdom is too high for a fool. Here you are, Christ speaking over here, let us say. Christ is here and he's speaking, and there's a man or a woman over here, and they are, by definition, a Bible definition, they're a fool. And they listen to him for a few minutes, and then they can't get it. It's too high for them. Well, it isn't. It's just that their foolishness blinds their minds and their hearts. And they say, I don't understand it. I don't care about it. I got my own stuff. I'm living my own life. I'm going my own way. This cannot happen to you and me. Okay? I have it in my heart. By Mark 7:22. It's one of the 13 things that Jesus says, what comes out of my heart is foolishness. And then I find another fool. We shake hands, we live like that, and we could be very intelligent, we could be very skillful, very talented, but there's a total blindness. Just like Lucifer was extremely intelligent. He was very good to look at. He was a beautiful creature, but there was some worm that came inside his heart, and he became the biggest fool ever to say, I am above God. You are what? I am above God. And he's so smart. Beware. Many of the fools are very smart, very clever. Beware. Much of the foolishness that is happening in this world, very clever, very talented people. But if you go behind, you get into what is happening there, it is empty. There's a foolishness there that you cannot extract. There is a waywardness, there is a blindness, and there is just plain, just tragic, sad life. Do you know what happened in Germany more than 70 years ago? Hitler, he was an evil man and a big fool, and he was a big fool. But he was so politically capable, he was so smart, it must have been supernatural the way he rose to power. And it would be 1,000 years, and he included Russia in German territory. That's why he attacked Russia. He had it in his mind, the German race populating, and he had this whole lie that was demonic. Killing the Jewish people, an amazingly evil, demonic power, but so capable that he had all these smart generals and all these smart people around him, and they could not stop this guy, they were part of it. Man. Wow. We could pause and just cry. It's tragic. I can't help but relate to that story because it's so shocking. 100 million people destroyed in a period of like 14 years, 6 years, millions of people by foolishness. Yeah, the devil is filling this world with his lies and his propaganda and his strategy. And he wants people to simply live without God. He wants people to discover themselves without God. He wants them to succeed without God. He wants them to live their life without God. But there is one, Christ, who says, no, not to you and me. No. Read it with me. It says, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You got to get the word. I'm gonna teach this to this church this coming year by God's grace, reading the Bible. But I don't want you only to read the Bible. I want the Bible to get soaked into you. I don't want you just to read the Bible like you read it and quickly get through your portion and then close it and put it away. I want the Bible like in your mind, in your heart. I want you to digest it. I want you to meditate on it. I want it to get into you and move you. I want this book to be in you chapter after chapter after chapter with a lot of joy, a lot of life, a lot of obedience, a lot of faith that you take and you say, yeah, give it to me, God. I'm going to take it because I know the answer to the foolishness in me is the wisdom that is in you. But you don't give it to just anybody. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The great respect that we have before God. The great attitude of I am standing before the Almighty God. That the Almighty God is my teacher. Wow. That God will help us. God will keep me off of drugs. And if I am in God, if I am in them, God will take me out of them. He'll keep me from being a liar. And if I am a liar, God will change me so I am not a liar. And I'm an adulterer. If I am an adulterer, God will change me and I'll not be an adulterer anymore. That is over. That is history. That's gone. That's wiped away. It's washed, dropped in the sea, in the bottom of the sea. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. Abide. Get real quiet before God. Abide in me. Depend on him. Depend on him. Remember Luther said, the thing I fear the most, when he was called to the Diet of Worms, when he had to go to this place and meet all the emperor himself and all these kings and princes, and he had to go there, and they were calling him to task on his teaching. And they said, are you afraid? He said, I'm afraid of more of my own heart than I'm afraid of all of the kings and princes that are there. I am afraid, he said, the tiles on the rooftops as I came seemed like devils to me. Like I was going to meet the devil. That's the idea. But I am not afraid of the devil as much or the Pope as much as I am afraid of what is in my own heart. Abide in me, Jesus said. Need me. Abide in me. Trust in me. Verse 4, if the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, amen, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Much fruit. I wonder, did you have a fruitful year? I want to encourage you and say, if you're part of this church and you are committed to Christ and you come by faith, then you have borne fruit. I want to say that if in your heart God has spoken to you somehow and you made some decision in your heart about God, about seeking Him and believing Him, then that is fruit. I want to say if you've forgiven somebody for something that they did to you that was offensive and hurt you very much, and you have forgiven them and put it away, then that is good fruit, much fruit. If I have a desire to follow God in my heart, in faith, as bad as I may be, but I live by faith, I keep on getting up and going on. I get up and go on because David said, Big Dave said, God is a merciful God. We don't stay down. We keep going. Abide in Him. And we bear much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Could say somebody said, I wanted to get in shape this year, and they finished this year. They said it a year ago, and they actually did it, and so on. We say, congratulations, God bless you. But the things that really count, we cannot do anything without Him. I mean, that counts. I'm not discrediting it. I don't care really about it that way. It's fine. It's like, that's fine. But He said, without me, yes, you can take a piece of paper and move it from here to there, but really, you can't even do that without me. I am the muscle in your arm. I am the lapse in the nerves. I am the hormones in your body. I am the presence in your mind. I am the one that is organizing and directing things. I am the sovereign God. Really, without me, you can do nothing. But then add on to that this understanding. In terms of eternity and reality, without me, there is nothing that will last. Your words will pass away. Your heart motives and desires as a fool will be diminished to nothing. You'll disappear into nothing. And if worst case, in hell, I have nothing but only my cursed self. Nothing more. But because of being saved, we have a whole new opportunity. And it isn't to live saying there is no God, but instead we say it with all our hearts. Thank you, God. Not only I know you are there, but you reveal yourself to me. And I need you more than my next breath. I esteem your words more than my necessary food. Job 23:12. And in the Hebrew it says, more than my necessities. And it means, I esteem your word even more than what I need in order to physically live. My food, my breath, the blood in my veins. I need your word more than anything I could ever get in this life. I need my mind enlightened. I need to have a new desire put in my heart. I need a new motivation that comes into my life. I need Jesus. I need you in my life. And this is what he's saying. If you abide in me, you will bear fruit. And this will happen inside. And you say, thank you, God. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I'm a guy that goes to the church to hear the word because I got two things going on. At home, I got a little altar there. It's my kitchen table. I put the dishes away and I got a little altar there and I got a Bible that I read. And even in my family, I have a little get together with my family where we say a word or two to each other and say a short, maybe a short, powerful prayer. God, we need you. Help us. Get us through. Guide us. Not only will we only exist, but we will exist with a full content, we will exist with a gas tank full. We'll exist with a divine purpose until we meet you. Yesterday, Pastor Shibeli at the lunch wrap preached on eternity, and it was so good to hear the Bible verses one after the other. Your word is established in heaven. The entrance of your word gives light, understanding to the simple. Your great peace have they that love your word. Nothing will offend them. Wow. That man must live not by bread alone, but by words that come from God's mouth. This is where the drugs leave, because God's word is the source. It's my high. It's my satisfaction. It's my focus. It's my direction. It's what gets me going in my heart. For how could we live with anything less than God himself? Amazing. Last verse 6. If a man abides not in me, I'm so sorry for that. The man abides not in me. Could be a really good guy, but if he abides not in me, the best of man is vanity. If he abides not in me, he could never glorify my Father the way I have designed him. I sometimes call it adulterated purpose. Let me explain it and we'll finish. Adulterated purpose. Here's a man. He's a very good man, and he's an honorable person. He's a good man, but he's not saved. He's not saved. His sins are there underneath the suit. His sins are there underneath in his heart. He's still under a curse. He knows it. He has those days. It's tough going, and yet he does his best, but he does not abide in Christ. His life is adulterated. He's living to be a good man. But come on, a good man sounds so boring. Wait, you're living to be a good man? Come on, aren't you made to be like an angel? Aren't you made to be like God? Aren't you made to be like a celestial? Aren't you made to live like for a great purpose? Or just a job and a paycheck and a car and a chainsaw and a fishing rod? Is that all you got? And a woman and pornography and pictures and all that stuff and live like a dog? Is that what you're made for? It's called adulterated purpose. And this is how you could say, I take a brand new Lexus car, high quality, filled, loaded, packed, loaded. I bring it down to the dock and I find there's a ship there that needs an anchor. I say, you can use my Lexus for an anchor. They drive the chain through the front window. They hook it up. They go out to sea. They lower the Lexus down to the bottom of the sea. The fish are swimming through the car. Was the car made for that? No. Car wasn't made for that. It's adulterated. It's misused. It's wrong purpose, but it works. Weighs whatever, you know, I don't know what they weigh, 2 tons or something. It works, holds the ship, it's down there. There it is. Works. Works. But if you go into the glove compartment and read the manual, the car is not made to be an anchor. And man is not made to die. Man is not made to be cursed. Man is not made to lie. Man is not made to be an adulterer and a thief. Man is not made to live like a fool and say, I don't have anybody over me. I do my own thing. I live my own way. I want the independence. Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you'll never know what it's like to fly. Without me, you won't know what it's like to be righteous. Without me, you won't know what it means to know my Father. Without me, you won't know much about this book at all. Nothing without me, but with me. It's eternal. We are entering one more year. Listen, one more spring, summer, winter. It'll be 2019. Another summer, winter, 2020. Summer, winter, summer, winter, summer, winter, summer, winter, summer, winter, to 2025. You know what it means? Nothing, really. Except life goes on. But one of those years, it's over. One of those years, one of those months, one of those days, it is over. And you know what abides? They that abide in him, they that bear fruit in him, they that learn his ways, they that follow him and trust him, they that learn to live in Jesus Christ and walk by faith in his great grace, we will do great things to the glory of God, and we will go and be with our reward that will glorify God. And at the end of the day, we'll say, they'll say, how did you do it? We say, believe me, my New Year's resolutions couldn't cut the mustard. But I found another way, and it happens in August, in September, in October, not December 31st. It happens in January 3rd, and January 19th, and it happens all the time. Whenever it is that you and I are abiding in him, he will direct us. He will put it in our heart. He will direct our footsteps. He will bring righteousness into our heart, and we will say, glory be to God. It is Jesus that did it. It is God that did it, and we are here to declare that and his glory. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? I don't know if Pastor Shibeli knows this, but in the back of this book, in the conclusion, it says, Pastor Shibeli once said there are five kinds of believers. Some people leave their spiritual coverings. Some people leave and attack their spiritual coverings. Some people are under a spiritual covering, but they are very passive. Some people are under a spiritual covering and bearing fruit. And some people are under a spiritual covering and have become a spiritual covering for others. That's a great little list right there. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we could say in our hearts this morning that we want a spiritual covering, and we don't want to be passive under it, but embrace it. We have heard your words today from John 15. Thank you for coming. We came out here today, this morning, by faith to honor you and your word and abide in you and learn of you. And maybe someone on the internet listening or someone here in the auditorium has not yet made that decision to trust you. Please do it today. Say, Lord Jesus, I trust in you. Lord Jesus Christ, I need you. Lord Jesus Christ, you came in this world for me. I ask you, save me today. Forgive me. In Christ's name, raise your hand. Anyone saying the prayer, please. You said that prayer. Anybody? Thank you, sir. There's a man right down here. Beautiful. Thank you. Good decision. There he is. That's beautiful. Okay. Amen.